This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based health care. Here's your host, Dr. T.J. Williams.
Well, here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. Another week, and boy, have we got an exciting show today. I'm so excited about this. We talked about it last week. We've got a very special guest with us today. We're going to be talking about cellular regenerative medicine. It's exciting, huh, Aaron?
I hear it's exciting. I'm learning along with everyone else.
So,
I'm excited to learn. I don't really have anything to offer. So.
She does have something to offer, ladies and gentlemen. She always has insightful questions, and she will keep us on track because our very special guest today is Dr. David Harshfield. This guy is a really good friend of mine. We've been good friends for about a decade now, 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years. We'll talk about that when we get him on the phone here. But we're going to be talking to Dr. Harshfield, and just a little background about this guy. So Dr. Harshfield is an interventional radiologist, and I'm going to let him explain what it means to be an interventional radiologist because I don't want to butcher that. I kind of have my own idea of what that is, but I'm going to let him be very clear about what it is that he does. But he is the chairman of the Institutional Review Board for the International Cellular Medicine Society. He serves on the board of directors for the American Association of Orthopedic Medicine. He's licensed in 7 different states. He's worked with NASA. He's worked with the NFL. He lectures all over the world on cellular regenerative medicine and how it can be used to heal injuries and other ailments. He is the real deal. I cannot express how excited I am to have him on the show. He's a true friend. I'm so excited to welcome him to the show. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. David Harshfield. Dr. Harshfield, how are you today?
Great. Good to talk to you, Dr. Williams.
So did I do enough justice there? This guy won't toot his own horn, so I have to brag on him a little bit because he won't brag on himself. Did I miss anything important? Did I miss anything important there, Dr. Harshfield, with all that?
Not a thing.
All right.
Not a thing.
All right. So we're going to talk today about what you do. And luckily for me, I've been around you. Can you believe it's been 10 years that we've known each other?
That's hard to believe.
10 years since I showed up at your house, knocked on your door, and was like, hey, I was told to come over here and you were going to teach me some things. And ladies and gentlemen, he taught me how to read an MRI. He taught me how to read x-rays. He taught me so much. I'm so blessed and honored to know this guy.
Well, kind of. I mean, he's still the expert to read those things.
I have no clue what I'm doing. Right. If he's beside me, I'm the world's expert at reading an MRI. For sure. So I mentioned to the audience, Dr. Harshfield, that you are an interventional radiologist. Could you please give our listeners a brief explanation as to what that actually is?
The practice of radiology, people are fairly familiar with, although my grandmother, I believe, went to her grave thinking I fixed radios. But we read x-rays, and from that, you know, from 100 years ago when Rentgen first discovered the x-ray, and then we've evolved in computed x-rays like CT scans and so forth. And then we read ultrasounds and nuclear medicine tests. And that interpretation of imaging is the core of what a radiologist does. As an interventional radiologist, it's like the difference in a cardiologist and an interventional cardiologist. A cardiologist may be able to take a history and prescribe medications and so forth. The interventional cardiologist does an angiogram. He might put a catheter in a patient, inject contrast to look at the coronary arteries, and if they're blocked, put a stent in them. So an interventional radiologist does interventions. And what I used to tell my kids when they'd ask me the same question, I said, there's basically a physician for almost every orifice, natural orifice in the human body. What an interventional radiologist does is we make our own. And I would tell my son, Trey, I said, if your sister, Kristen, shot you with a BB, I could take you to my clinic. I could turn the fluoroscope on and ultrasound a CT. And in a few minutes, I could find that BB and take it out, and you could go out and play in the yard that afternoon. So we were really good at taking out kidney stones and gallstones and things that you do through the skin approaches. We did angiograms. A lot of what interventional radiology did initially has kind of dispersed. The cardiologists, for instance, do all the coronaries. We used to do those. The OB-GYN doctors do a lot of their own OB-GYN ultrasound. Radiologists used to do those. And so we're sort of the doctor's doctor in that the physicians, whether you're a brain specialist, you'll come to me and I'll read a brain MR, for instance, for you. And if you're a vascular specialist, I may read an ultrasound of a carotid artery. But that we get to practice in all these subspecialties, which is kind of good because if you walk down the wrong path, so say you're an orthopedic surgeon, you said, you know, I really don't like that. I'd like to be a cardiac surgeon. You got a long way back and to start over to become that specialized. As a radiologist, specializing in orthopedic radiology, if you change your mind, it doesn't take you a few months to a year to become a specialized cardiac or cardiovascular radiologist. So it's kind of a nice home for people that don't know what they want to do when they grow up, which is kind of what I say to people.
You've said it a million times to me.
When you and I met and you taught me the importance of chiropractic and physical therapy for all of our fantabulous injection procedures, without the physical therapy, the procedures are not very sustained.
Right.
So we teach each other a lot, you and I, and the nice thing is that we work in groups, integrative medicine,
right.
I think call ourselves now, where it's sort of a Noah's Ark of doctors.
Right.
Almost everybody.
Right. We get everybody in there that needs to be, and we can take on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So my next question for you, Doc, is this whole cellular regenerative medicine. Talk to me a little bit about that. I know you've been doing that for years. For those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking with Dr. David Harshfield, probably the world's leading authority, if not the world's leading authority, one of the world's leading authorities on cellular regenerative medicine and what is possible by injecting people and helping them prevent surgeries and things like that. Talk to us a little bit about what this stuff actually is. It's something that's new. It's becoming more and more popular. More and more people in our clinic are leaning that way. They're asking questions about it, if I know anything about it. And, you know, I obviously do a little bit, but all this stuff I've learned from you, Doc. So explain to us a little bit about what cellular regenerative medicine encompasses.
Basically, it occurred to us, and little kids are really good at healing. From the time they're in the womb till they get out to about a year, half, maybe 2 years old, when they have an injury, they don't scar. They completely heal. A little wood fracture in a two-year-old kid, he doesn't have a callus like we would have as an adult. He has a new rib in a year.
Hmm.
So what happens somewhere in that 2 to 3 years of age is the cellular immunity of that child, an adolescent, then becomes an adult, and we start healing more by scar and secondarily heal rather than primarily heal. So that became very interesting to me in medical school. I was doing a PhD project in diabetes, and we took little diabetic rats that we made diabetic with a chemical. That was nice of us. And we took some embryonic pancreatic tissue from 12-day-old rat embryos, and we tucked it underneath the kidney capsule of those adults that we'd made diabetic. And within a month or so, those adults weren't diabetic anymore. Now, that's a long time ago in my career. And the dean of medicine told me we can't do embryonic stem cell work, and I understand now why. At the time, I thought we cured diabetes. I get it.
Right.
We had, but in rats. And that interest in regeneration stuck with me as I went through standard allopathic medical school, which basically looks at a human being as a binary problem, and that the answer for any disease is either what drug or what surgery do you need.
Right.
And looking at how we heal and the fact that some of us do and don't, and it didn't seem to be a rhyme or reason to it just by looking at the person on the surface. You could kind of group older folks don't heal as good as younger folks, but sometimes young folks didn't heal well either. Then you and I met about a decade ago, and you started teaching me about physical medicine and about how the gut, the microbiome, and immunity is responsible primarily for your healing, and how those little 1 and 2 year old kids were healing was basically by unabated immune system. And then as adults, and depending on our age and levels of toxins and whatnot in our body determines how well or not so well that we heal. That having said that, we are not playing God. We don't. This is not Frankenstein that we're doing with our patients with cellular medicine. Basically, the stem cells or the cellular products that we inject in our patients are actually only able to enable that patient's immune system and their cells and stem cells to heal them, which I think is a much more consoling thought to a lot of our older folks in particular, in that I say, look, if we inject your knee and you need an anterior cruciate ligament repair and your body's not fixing it on its own, and we're going to inject cells in your knee, the cells we're injecting are not going to fix your cruciate ligament. Your cells are. These cells are only going to bring the nutrients and things that maybe your cells, stem cells, don't quite have.
Right.
And I think that's a comforting way to look at it. Then the big revelation, and then when you and I start working back together again after you got your PhD, is that if you inject the best stem cells in the world in a patient that doesn't have a healthy immune system, they won't work.
That's exactly right.
And then you taught me that we got to take care of the stem cell immunity viability just by what we eat, and that if your gut's sick, it's leaky, so it won't work. So initially, we'll have to do some IV nutrition. But that if we do that first, all the things we do subsequent to that are so much more successful.
So true. So true. Well, I hate to cut you off right there, but we need to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to talk about a very specific therapy called platelet-rich plasma, PRP. I've got a little experience with this myself, and Dr. Harshfield and I are going to talk with that. So we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Wellness 101.
Is Wellness 101.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in today, we have a very special guest. We have Dr. David Harshfield. We're talking about cellular regenerative medicine, and we just spent the last segment talking about what this stuff is and how it can help different people. And we're going to take some time right now. We're going to talk about one model of cellular regenerative medicine and you know, we may get into some of these other things, but one of the ones that's more popular than most is this stuff called platelet-rich plasma, or PRP. It's a very interesting thing. For those of you who have heard of it before, Tiger Woods kind of made this stuff famous after the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He injured his knee or something. I could be wrong on that time frame, but I know he got PRP injected into his leg to help him heal and repair. And ever since then, it's really started to take off. So, Dr. Harshfield, could you talk to us a little bit about what platelet-rich plasma therapy is?
Sure. We all have about 6 units or so of blood floating around. And when we think of blood, we think of red, the red cell component of the blood. But in a centrifuge, you can separate the red cells from this olive oil clear plasma. And if you really centrifuge a lot harder and for a little longer period of time, you can get all of the platelets from that olive oil looking part of the bloodstream of the plasma. You can hyperconcentrate the platelets into what we call platelet rich plasma. The thing that we've been doing blood transfusions for decades, so that's nothing new. And in fact, we've even started injecting autologous blood. In other words, if somebody had a tendon tear or muscle tear or injury or bone that wouldn't heal, you can actually draw blood from them and shake it up for a few minutes, and right before it clots, inject it into that injury. And autologous means it comes from the same person. And you could inject that autologous red blood, and it would improve the healing process. Now, the downside was is it hurts. It's like a bruise. It happens when you get injured anyway. And the second thing is you can't really inject whole blood into a joint because the red cells are toxic to the joint.
Right.
So we started just spinning it down with a centrifuge, taking the red cells out. You leave yourself this platelet, this plasma component that looks like olive oil, but you spin that again. And on the very bottom of it, it's a little pellet of platelets, and it's very concentrated. And what we use, everyone knows the platelets are great for blood clotting and so forth. But in addition, and we didn't know that until just a few decades ago, those platelets actually have all the instructions on how to rebuild the body inside in these alpha and dense granules. And once you inject this platelet-rich plasma into a torn tendon or ligament or muscle or bone injury, when they open up, they begin to heal. And what they do as much as anything is they are like a GPS to the bone marrow from whence they came. And by the way, your bone marrow has about 4% stem cells in the bone marrow itself. And your bloodstream also has 4% of these CD34 cells are called, but they're also hematopoietic stem cells. So when you're spinning this platelet-rich plasma, you gather all the cellular component, which is partially stem cells, and you inject that into a knee, and it knows to build a cruciate ligament. You inject the same platelet-rich plasma into the shoulder. It knows to build a rotator cuff. It's just brilliant. And what it basically does is begin the healing cascade, and you ask yourself, well, why didn't that patient heal on their own? And again, it can be because they're older, or often right after an injury, we'll start gobbling down these ibuprofen, Aleve, Tylenol, these so-called non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and that stops the healing process.
Right.
And that little process there can be restarted by injecting the platelet-rich plasma.
Right.
And stopping all those steroids and non-steroids.
So I want to talk a little bit. This is gonna go back a couple of years, more like 6 or 7 for you and I, Doc. What I tell my clients when they ask about platelet-rich plasma and what it does is I tell them that your platelets are like a job foreman on a construction site. I like to use a lot of house or construction and car analogies. And I tell them the platelets are like the job foreman. They're the ones, when they get there, they say, okay, they look at the plans and they see what the next thing is that needs to be done. And they're calling all the subcontractors and saying, hey, we need you guys to come over here and build this. And then once they're done, they get the guys that come in and clean that up. And then the next group comes in and builds the next layer. And then they get the cleanup crew to come in and do all that. Is that an accurate representation of basically what a platelet can do that we didn't know about even, 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great analogy. And patients need to get their heads around, because we use a lot of doctor terminology. It's just hard not to. But a platelet, people know, causes blood clotting, and it's a good thing. And they know they're taking an aspirin so that the blood doesn't clot too much, so that they don't have propensity for heart attacks, particularly older folks. And if you're only taking a baby aspirin, 82 milligram dose, not a whole adult 350 milligram dose, if you take a baby aspirin every day, that does not really affect these platelets. But if you take a whole bunch of aspirin or these non-steroidals, these little guys don't work very well.
Right.
But to your point, though, these are your construction engineers. They have the whole map of the patient inside of them. And when we draw the blood, we try not to disturb them. We don't want to get them to really activate until we inject them. And
right.
Then when we do, we kind of think about it like hand grenade therapy. In other words, if you can get these platelets around an injured joint, it'll start the healing process, and it'll light up the immune system to go, okay, bone marrow, I want some fibroblasts to make some collagen. I want some macrophages, which are like garbage trucks.
Right.
I want all these things at this joint space. And your bone marrow will make them. The bone marrow doesn't send stem cells out there. It sends what the platelet ordered.
Yeah, right.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
So remind me, if I recall, you had a person, I mean, for those of you out there who are just tuning in, this is Dr. David Harshfield, cellular regenerative expert. And we used to work together quite a bit back in the day, several years ago. And I've actually been involved with some of these procedures. I've been there while he's doing these things. I've got to meet some pretty amazing people because of it. It was actually a very exciting time. But we talked about one case that you had in particular where you had injected this guy. He had some low back issues. You had injected the low back, and this guy had no results. And you finally asked the question about what he had done. And this guy had gone home right after the procedure and started taking some non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and he had no healing effect. And if I recall, you told him, hey, just stop taking all that stuff. And almost instantly, he started healing. Remind me of that story. I know that there's something there with that.
The interesting thing about that is, actually, this whole practice of cellular medicine, the really cool thing is it doesn't take 10 to 20 years for an idea to get from the bench to the patient. The problem right now is research that's phenomenal. Sometimes take 20 years to get into practice. When this happened, Dr. Williams is talking about happened with our patients, a number of us, we have a group called the International Cellular Medicine Society. It's 36 countries worldwide. When something happens or doesn't happen, we call each other up. We have monthly meetings. And we'll say, hey, you know, I've been noticing this. And somebody goes, hey, you know, when they're on Motrin, I've noticed they don't heal as well. And then next thing you know, 6 or 8 folks in the committee go, hey, we got to test this out. So we, the next day, get some Petri dishes out, put some stem cells in, throw some ibuprofen or Aleve on it, and they don't grow.
Right.
And that's how all that came about. And within a few months, certainly a year, we changed the entire way that we used these stem cell procedures just with a phone call. Just like Dr. Williams was saying, our patients, some of them would get better, some wouldn't. It dawned on us to start eliminating the non-steroidals, like the ibuprofen, and miraculously, we began to understand how this works. And what we want is regenerative inflammation. When there's an injury or an illness, we want regeneration, but it is an inflammatory response. What patients come in with arthritis, they have degenerative inflammation, and they're taking aspirin and all these drugs. And it will stop the pain, but also what it stops is you ever having a chance to heal.
Right.
And so by getting off of those non-steroidals, a lot of these folks, their knee pain and back pain go away. It's amazing. And then the ones that it doesn't go away, once we do their PRP injection, for instance, it really works.
Right.
So we've learned a lot about this, but one thing for sure, less is more in this line of work. And the old get a bigger hammer is not the mentality here. And the beauty of this is there's never been a serious adverse reaction to this ever in recorded history. And that's pretty phenomenal to be able to practice medicine, know you're not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
When it doesn't work, just like you said with that patient, the worst thing happens, it doesn't work. But when it doesn't, it's my fault. It's not the patient's fault.
Right.
Then we figure out, take them off the non-steroidals, and it starts to work. Yes, everybody gets smart.
I dusted that one off of the vault. So I don't know. Sometimes things just come to me. Well, Liz is telling us we need to take another break. So if you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Dr. David Harshfield, a visiting doctor for the Institute of Natural Health. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more of this platelet-rich plasma therapy that can be done, and we're going to talk about like what kind of results people can expect, how quickly improvement can be seen, and what kind of improvement is actually possible. So stick with us. You're listening to Wellness 101.
This is Wellness 101.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Dr. TJ Williams, with with Aaron. For those of you who are listening, Aaron is actually here.
I was going to say, for those of you listening, you would not know that I'm here because I don't really have anything to contribute. They're kind of talking over my head.
She is here. But let me ask you a question, Aaron. You've listened to Dr. Harshfield here, and you've met him. You know the guy. Are we explaining things to where people would know what it is that we're talking about and how it may be able to help?
Yes. No. And as soon as that came out of my mouth that you're talking over my head, I do think that you are able to put it in language where I understand what you're talking about. I mean, to the extent that I'm going to. And I think, like most people out there, really, I'm happy to know that you know what you're talking about. I don't necessarily have to understand the entire process.
Right.
But I guess, in listening to the two of you talk, one of my big questions, and I'm thinking people who are listening might be wondering, is everything Dr. Harshfield is talking about, it sounds great. Who exactly can benefit from this, the PRP that you've been talking about? Like, what specific problems can this help?
Doc, I'm going to let you have that one.
Okay. Basically, platelets have been used forever as far as in the clotting cascade and the new is responsible for some of the inflammatory healing process. What we're learning now is musculoskeletal, MSK, that is one of the 11 systems of the body. When there is injury to the bones, muscles, ligaments, and tendons, and so forth, these platelet-rich plasma injections can help facilitate instituting that regenerative inflammation. For whatever reason, it may not occur. Again, we talked about taking steroids or nonsteroidals that will stop you from healing. They may provide pain relief, but it doesn't fix the problem. It masks it. Patients on narcotics and opioids, obviously, we have got to quit doing that to our folks. And platelet-rich plasma is a very safe, quick way to do it. I mean, these procedures take less than an hour to do from the time you draw blood, spin it down, talk to the patient, inject it in their knee. The beauty of the way platelet-rich plasma works is it brings so many specialists together. And here's the other thing. This is patient-centered medicine. And by that, I mean the doctor has got to get out of the center of the circle. And that's a good thing. Doctors need to realize humans, we're not man-made. Let me just say it that way. And I admit, I'm just a man. So I tell my patients, look, I'm just a man. I can't fix you, but I can help you fix you, along with what Dr. Williams does, and maybe we have a podiatrist who's going to put a shoe lift in to relieve knee pain. I mean, all those sorts of small little tweaks to the body are how we heal. The platelet-rich plasma is sort of allowing you, it's almost like a time machine. Even if the injury happened 20 years ago, it allows you to restart the healing process. The bottom line there, and the truth of the matter is, 19-year-old kids heal faster and better than 79-year-old patients. And what we try to tell our patients in the beginning is that you're 79 years old. The best we're going to do is give you a 79-year-old knee, not a 19-year-old knee. And by leveling with the patient, telling those sorts of things. I remember when we first started doing this when Dr. Williams and I were doing it back in Fayetteville. We'd inject these old guys when they go out and play golf and call us back in 6 months. I'm on the back nine and my knee is kind of achy. And we reminded them, you came in a walker 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And you're 75 years old. That's great.
Right.
And you're 6 months older.
Right.
You know, I mean, those are the sorts of things. And people understand. I love when they want to get as good as they can be.
Right.
But the reality of it, it's fun. It's not a dangerous thing to do. And like I said, it brings a lot of different sorts of specialties together, which means I get to learn. TJ teaches me something every time I talk to him on the phone. And doctors need to start having fun, too.
Right. It's very true. I love going to work every single day. It's not work. It's fun. I enjoy our clientele. We have so much fun. There's laughter. There's enjoyment. And that's what it needs to be. More healing can be facilitated in an environment of love and warmth and acceptance than the sterile, you know, what we're used to is going to a doctor's office for crying out loud. It's disheartening, really. So in that little brief talk that you just had there discussing what you know, therapy looks like, PRP therapy looks like, you mentioned that it takes an hour or less. Let's walk through someone through like what the experience would be like of of actually getting to you and saying, hey, you know what, I'm very interested in some PRP. What does that entail? So to start with, you know, there's all the examination, there's all the pre-work that gets up to it, but when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of the procedure itself, we're talking about drawing some blood, using a very specialized centrifuge, and re-injecting this substance back into someone. Talk us through a little bit about what that is and how that works.
I think everyone's familiar with donating blood. And by the way, to all the guys out there, men need to donate blood. We have way too much red blood cells in us, and it ends up being amyloid, which is hard on our brain and kidneys later in life. Women, by having a menstrual cycle, they don't have this problem. But men need to donate blood as often as they can think about it. Just want me to say that just kind of parenthetically. But we've all given blood. So you come to the clinic, you sit down, they put a little band around your arm and stick a needle in your arm, draw some blood out, pull the needle out, put your little band-aid on there, sit and talk while the blood's spinning. It takes about 10 or 12 minutes to spin. Comes back in, and it comes in to a small vial or syringe full of the platelet-rich and a larger syringe of the platelet-poor plasma, which has a lot of good stuff in it that aren't cells or platelets, but are very good proteins and cytokines and things like that, growth factors. So we'll inject, let's talk about a knee, because a knee is the largest joint, and it's the most common reason people go to the doctor for an arthritis is a knee problem. We'll take the platelet-rich plasma, and I like to divide it into about three doses, the rich plasma. Arthritis is caused by loose ligaments. You know, this concept of rheumatoid, a whole different thing. That's inflammatory arthritis. Osteoarthritis is what we all have. As we grow older or from injury, we have a loose ligament, and that increased motion at that joint creates increased wear and tear, so it wears out faster. What we try to do is to inject those stem cells or platelet-rich plasma into the cruciate ligament in the knee, the centralized static stabilizer, and the collateral ligament complex, particularly on the posterior lateral part of the knee, the backside, which is when the pitcher throws his arm out, it's always the backside of the elbow. Same thing about the knee. It's a very important stabilizing structure. And we just inject the platelet-rich plasma and just perfuses all these structures that are very important for stable, for ligamentous and static stability of that joint. Then the patient says, well, my knee hurts. Most of the pain is coming from the muscle that's the dynamic stabilizer that moves the joint. And what's been going on is the ligaments aren't doing their job. So the static stabilizer is not functioning. So the dynamic stabilizer, the muscle, not only has to move the joint, it has to hold it. And that constant contracture around the joint creates the pain, and we treat that pain with very superficial glucose injection with a specialized buffer glucose. There's your pain control on the outside of the knee joint. Your cells are on the inside, so that over the next few days to weeks, you'll be stabilizing that knee. And then in the next few months, now you got a functional knee that's not in pain.
Right. And for those of you out there listening, ladies and gentlemen, when he's talking about injecting a knee, he's not guessing. I've watched this procedure several times, and he's using a very special ultrasound. These are ultrasound guided. The needle is exactly where it needs to be. He watches it. He can point it out to a patient if they're interested in watching it. If they're not interested in watching it, anyone who, you know, like myself, who might be in the room watching this, we can see exactly where this needle is going. This is not a guess. This is not, you know, oh, let's just kind of, you know, stick a needle in here, we might get lucky. Huh? This is exact, precise placement to where we get very controlled results and allowing a body to heal the way God intended it to heal. Would that be accurate, Dr. Harshfield?
Yeah, very good. The thing about putting the needle exactly where it needs to be, not only are we want to restabilize a joint by tightening the ligaments, but there's nerves that live in these giant ligaments, particularly in the knee, that are called proprioceptors. And that proprioception is what allows you to walk along and not have to look at your legs. Your body is aware of where your parts are in a dark room. That's proprioception. With these chronic arthritis problems, you don't have proprioception. So you walk funny and you're not aware of it. If we don't put this PRP right in that sheath, then the chances of the nerve coming back, and again, the innervation is key to this whole thing. The innervation won't return, and then that joint won't be quite as good as it should be. And it requires, it's not difficult for me, I've done so many of them, and we give lectures teaching doctors how to use ultrasound to guide these needles. And most of the patients want to see it. I mean, that's what's so powerful. The patient in his mind knows, particularly these kids. I say, you see that? That's your cruciate ligament. And their mind is going, yes. And I said, every night before you go to sleep, I want you to think about what you just did. Your cells are in that ligament, and you're going to heal that. That's the last thought I want you to have before you go to sleep.
Yes.
And not a year goes by, TJ, that I don't get a letter from someone that says, Dr. Harshfield, you don't remember me, but 12 years ago, you were injecting my knee, and I graduate med school tomorrow.
That's right.
And there's no such thing as other people's children, and this is a great way to educate people to the beauty and power of their bodies, in particular young folks who are kind of out there. Nobody, your kids don't listen to you, but these other kids do. And it's our, right, our responsibility to catch on when they're interested in these things. And that's why the idea of patient and family-centered medicine is really becoming popular, because the whole patient, the family's in the room.
Right.
You got little grandkids over there telling Papa, you got to quit smoking.
Right.
You know? I couldn't tell Papa that. It
right.
takes his grandkid to teach him that.
That's exactly
so,
right.
When we're in the room together doing the procedure, and it sounds like it's kind of a mess, it's really not. And it doesn't take, it takes less than an hour.
Right.
And this is the way, and I tell the patients this, this is the way we're going to treat your knee for the rest of your life. You don't have to have a total knee replacement. You may have to be injected once or twice a year, and then every year, and then every other year. But this is how we're going to treat it, not with steroids, not with narcotics, not with a total knee. And even if they do need a knee replacement at some point in time, they do so much better because they have been walking on that leg. They don't have atrophic muscles. They heal faster. So this is the thing we should do before we start doing surgery. And that if we do need surgery, this is really going to make the surgery work better.
Very well said. Very well said. We have to take another quick break. When we come back, Erin had her hand raised there, and I didn't want to interrupt you, Doc. So when we come back, she's got a question that she definitely wants to get asked. So when we come back right after this, we're going to continue talking with Dr. Harshfield. You're listening to Wellness 101.
This is Wellness 101.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully, you're not just tuning in to us today, because if you are, you've missed a very, very amazing show with one of the Institute of Natural Health's visiting doctors, Dr. David Harshfield, leading authority in regenerative cellular medicine. We've been talking about platelet-rich plasma particular. And before we went to break, Erin let me know that she had a question that she wanted to ask Dr. Harshfield. So I'm going to turn the microphone over. We haven't heard hardly anything from her today. So I guess if we want to not hear from Erin, we just get Dr. Harshfield on the phone and then on the air rather. And she just doesn't say anything. So
well, I do have this question.
Perfect.
Dr. Harshfield, you have talked about being able to do the PRP injections and helping people of all different ages. And so my question is, at what point, is there an age that's better to get this done? Is there a time that's too early or too late? Who is really a good candidate for this?
That's a great question. The thing about functional medicine, which is really what we're talking about, is that it's about a patient-centered rather than a disease-centered approach to these treatments. And it is occurring now to us that it's better to be, every one of my patients in their 70s, I'm sitting there looking at their knee going, I wish I could have been here 30 years ago. And so these younger folks that get injured in junior high and high school, college, we need to treat them because they're going to have an arthritic problem early in their 20s and 30s. So the sooner the better, if they're in the mood. And again, like we talk to our patients, we sit down, we tell them, okay, here's your lab work, here's And he says, here's what we think you have, and here's what we think we can offer, including nothing, doing nothing. What do you want to do? And let the patient decide. And these young folks are smart. They Google. They know about this. The older folks, same thing. Let them decide how much or little they want to be treated. And I am getting more, leaning more toward doing stuff earlier than later. I don't know why it took me so long for that to make sense to me, but preventive is way better.
So I guess then I'm wondering if you have, you know, say someone who is in high school or college and is, you know, playing basketball on a regular basis, would this be helpful, you know, for knees or for joints, or are they fine generally if they don't have pain? You know, should they just let it go for a while?
Often when you have an injury, an acute injury, your body's pretty good at healing that. Kind of like medicine. Medicine's very good. The practice of medicine in the United States is very good at acute things. It's not very good at chronic, complex things. So that when a young person injures themselves, particularly if they have an open growth plate, I mean, it's amazing how fast they can heal. So I'd say give them a chance. On the other hand, a lot of these athletes are being pushed, and they don't play all sports like we did when we were younger. They play one single thing over and over and over. It's probably a good idea at an injury, time of an injury, to help that along with a little PRP injection so that it does reassure ourselves it is going to heal.
So in that respect, you think that you might be preventing arthritis later on?
Yeah, I really do. And again, there's a multi-system effect. Even though you're injecting a knee, the entire body gets a sense of this regenerative pulse. And we've had a bunch of different positive effects just from one specific injection and a knee in a patient's shoulder became better. We got study protocols. We're doing this injection for macular degeneration in Florida. We inject one eye, the other eye gets better too. So even though that there's a knee injury, and the chiropractors know this, that knee injury is a symptom. The diagnosis may be a whole other thing, including the other leg may be the weak part, and that's why this knee is injured. It's because the other leg's weak. And so that we address this with our chiropractic and physical therapy buddies, and then we use the cellular therapy, and the patient's sitting there going, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, I sprained my left ankle 6 months ago. That's why my right knee hurts. So it's not his right knee, it's his left ankle.
Right. Well, that's a lot of food for thought there, and I hate to do this, but we are basically out of time. We have just blown through this. It's been a pretty amazing thing. I think Aaron has learned some things over there. I know I've definitely learned some stuff. Liz is over here just kind of shaking her head like, I didn't even know this stuff was possible. So for all of our listeners out there, we're going to do our very best to have part two of this conversation with Dr. Harshfield next week. So please tune in to that. And we're gonna get him back on this show, and we're gonna talk about some more things. We're gonna talk about my own personal experience with PRP and what it can do. So be sure to tune in for that. And if you want more information regarding this, please visit our website. We have Dr. Harshfield on our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Please feel free to give us a call, 314-293-8123. If you'd like to schedule an appointment, by all means, call us. We have Dr. Harshfield in on a fairly regular basis. We can let you know when he's going to be in next, get your consultation set up, and maybe get some PRP injections done for yourself. Follow us on all our social media outlets. We definitely would like to hear from you. Feel free to email us. So for Dr. Harshfield and Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. Thanks for listening. Somebody save your soul, cause you've been sinning in the city. I know too many troubles, all these lovers got you losing control. You like a drug to me, a luxury, my sugar. Even though I can make your hands clap.